Well, today, if you brought your Bibles, go ahead and turn in them with me to John chapter 15. How many of you guys brought your Bibles today? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. John chapter 15, because after all, you can't take the overhead screen with you when you face life's issues. Amen. It wouldn't fit in your car. It wouldn't fit in your house. That thing is pretty big. Got to bring your Bible. Get to know your word for yourself. Have it underlined. Have it highlighted. Mark it up. Write down in it. Don't be afraid to write in your Bible, all right? Write stuff down in it so that when God speaks to you, man, you have it when you walk out of church and you face everyday life. Today, if you're taking notes, the title of the message is Connected to the Vine, and this is actually part number 7. I happened to look it up. It should be part number 9, but because we, Antonio and myself, we named 2 messages, we were just kind of like, you know, the rebellious children. I don't know what you want to call it. No, we call it something else. Anyways, so technically this is our ninth message in John chapter 15, but it's really part number 7, if that makes sense. Anyways, moving right along. if you remember last week, we covered, we went through verse number 6. Today we're going to be getting into verse number 7. But before we do, if you wouldn't mind going with me to verse number 1, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we've done a lot of teaching on it. There's been a lot of good things that have been brought forth, life-changing things from the Word of God in the first 6 verses. But just so we understand the progression so that when we get to verse number 7, we understand what Jesus is talking about. Can I get an amen? All right, so verse number 1, Jesus says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, if you remember over in Isaiah chapter 53, that's Old Testament. All right, you may be familiar with that chapter because in that chapter is a very popular, familiar verse that says, by his stripes you are healed. All right, if you look at the preceding verses in front of that, the Bible actually says this about Jesus. It says that he grew up before God as a tender shoot and as a root out of dry ground. Now, doesn't that sound like a vine to you? Yes, as a tender shoot, as a root out of dry ground. And so he comes along here and says, I am the true vine. Or in other words, God came along, and in the fullness of time, the Bible says, he planted Jesus right here on earth to bring salvation to the world, okay? And so he says, I am the true vine. And then he says, and my Father is the vine dresser, or he's the one who dresses the vine. All right, so he came along, he planted Jesus, and then as you look all throughout the Word of God, you'll find that God called the children of Israel and made them his chosen people, all right? He called them, made them his own for the purpose of bringing them to salvation, and then through them, salvation to the rest of the world. Are you guys following me today? All right, so that's where, when you read in the New Testament, you'll find, all right, that here Jesus is the true vine, and Israel was what the Bible called a natural branch, all right? A shoot that came off of Jesus Christ, all right? So God comes along, and the Bible says that he gives them the covenants. He gives them the commandments. They've got the prophets. They've got the glory. They've got the things of God going on in their life. And then all of a sudden, they get to Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that they stumble. All right? The Bible says that Jesus Christ literally becomes a rock of offense. Jesus Christ literally becomes the stone that the builders rejected. All right? So here we come along, and the Bible says that the builders rejected him. Who are the builders? Israel. They're the ones that God had given the promises to. They're the ones that God had given the covenants to. They're the ones that God had given the things of God to in order to first bring them salvation, and then through them, salvation to the rest of the world. You guys follow me? You're kind of staring at me like, all right? So anyways, moving right along. So I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, we're going to continue on, but before we do, I want to finish the story. The Bible says this. The Bible says that Israel, because they stumbled at Jesus Christ, he came in a way they weren't expecting. All right? He showed up in a manger. Everybody knows that story. Everybody's been around church during Christmas time. All right? He showed up in a manger, and he came in a way they didn't expect him to come. Then he lived life, and he did things they didn't expect him to do. The children of Israel were waiting for this deliverer to come to overthrow the Roman Empire. If you know, I'm sure everybody here knows enough about history. They wanted him to overthrow the Roman Empire and exalt the children of Israel and the things of God and get it all done and over with right there. Instead, Jesus comes along, and he dies on the cross, all right, for the sins of the world. And then 3 days later, we know the rest of the story. He raises again, and he's in heaven today, coming back again very soon. So if you really look at the story, you'll find that actually the children of Israel were the ones that that crucified him. All right? And so the Bible says that here Jesus is the true vine. They were a natural branch, but because they stumbled at Jesus Christ, they got cut off. All right? But then the good news is that all of a sudden, you and I, even though Israel failed, and God was going to use Israel to bring salvation to you and I, the Bible says that it doesn't matter. I like when Pastor Luke preaches, he talks about God being a resilient God. God was able to engraft us into the vine anyway. Amen. And thank God today that you and I are saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right. Now, to finish this story before we move on again, because I think it's worth being told, is that God in all of his goodness still has a plan for the people of Israel. And the Bible actually says that God is going to pour out his goodness upon you and me. God is going to pour out and dump his glory out on you and me. God has brought us the kingdom of God. God has now given us the promises. God is going to be at work in us today, so much so that it's going to provoke Israel to jealousy, the Bible says. In other words, they're going to look at our lives, they're going to be like, dang, that's really for me. That was mine first. You know, like you used to like live here with your brother and sister when you were little. No, that's mine. I had it first. All right. And through jealousy, through God being at work in our lives today, they were going to be brought to salvation. All right. So here he comes along. He says, I am the true vine and my father is the vine dresser. Israel fell off. We've been engrafted in, but God is able to engraft them in again. The Bible says, then verse number two says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, talking about you and I bearing fruit and God, how God is going to be at work in our lives today. Then we get along, come along here to verse number three, and Jesus says this, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, if you remember quite a few weeks back, we talked about what that meant and how God has now separated us and delivered us out of the world. Amen. All right, God has delivered us out of the world. God has set us free from sin. The Bible says we've been moved out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light. Out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. All right. And so basically Jesus comes along here and says, you are clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You're already clean. You're already separated. You are set up to bear fruit. Amen. You are set up to bear fruit. Amen. All right. And so if you remember last week, we talked about thank God today that we get to bear and bring forth in our lives good, godly fruit. You and I get to bring forth the fruit that God intended us to bring forth from the very beginning. You and I do not have to bring forth the same kind of fruit that the world brought forth. Last week, I wasn't expecting to get such a big response, but last week we talked about Hollywood and how they traded in their new cars to get a new one and how they traded in their spouse. And everyone was like, to get a new one. I was like, no, to get a used one. And everyone was like, ah! So I took note. I had to say that quite a few more times until you guys are like, all right, Pastor Joe. But the point being is this. Thank God you and I don't have to do the same kind of thing that the world has to do. We don't have to call good what they call good. You and I don't have to follow after their ways. And so thank God you and I get to bear fruit. So he comes along here and he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. You've been separated. You've been moved out of the world, delivered out of sin, set up to bear fruit. All right. And then he comes along here in verses 4, 5, and 6. And Jesus deals with the issue of abiding. All right. You've got to abide in me and I in you. He says it like 4 or 5 times. Abide in me and I in you. Hey, you got to abide in me and I in you. And if anyone does not abide in me and I in them, all right, he says it over and over. And basically what Jesus is saying to us today is, hey, listen, I'm the true vine and my father is the vine dresser. And you are saved today. You've been engrafted in. All right. And you know that God wants you to bear fruit. And you know what? I have set you up to bear fruit. But just because you're saved and you're set up to bear fruit and doesn't mean that you can now go out on your own and bear fruit of yourself. You guys follow me today? See, there's a lot of Christians today, you know what? I'm saved. I know about Jesus. I could tell you the story. I know a couple of verses. I could sing a couple songs. I have arrived. I am the Bible answer man. All right, and they think they can go out and not be connected to, not abide in. We learned that word abide also means to remain, to stay, to continue with. A lot of Christians today, we leave our Bible on the shelf. And we let it collect dust, and we walk around like we've arrived. All right, and so what Jesus comes along here, and he says here in verses 4, 5, and 6, hey, you just because you're saved, you've been engrafted in, you're set up to bear fruit, hey, now you've got to abide in me. And for the rest of our lives, young people in the house, You and I are going to have to be about the business of abiding, remaining, staying, continuing in the things of God. Hey, listen, at 80 years old, 90 years old, 100 years old, guess what? You and I should still be learning and growing in the things of God. Can I get an amen? And so we pick up today in verse number 7. And if you're taking notes today, we're going to be talking about two things. We got only 2 points today. Two things to know about John 15, verse number 7. And I just want to say this. We're only talking about two. There's much more that could be said about John 15, number 15, verse 7. I imagine that Pastor Luke will probably not go on to verse 8. If he does, whatever he does, just be here next week. It's going to be good. Amen. So we're just talking about two things today. To know about John chapter 15, verse number 7. Look at verse number 7 with me. It says this: "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Now, I don't know about you, but for me, I've read John chapter 15 quite a few times. I've been to Bible college. That's not to say anything, but I've read it a bunch, all right? And in my reading of John chapter 15, you know, I verse number 1, 2, 3, 4, and all of a sudden it gets to verse number 4, "Abide in me and I in you." Abide in me and I in you. If you abide in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. And then in verse number, if anyone does not, and so it's like, all right, Jesus is drilling home the point. Hey, you've got to abide in me and I in you. All right, I got it. Jesus, I got it. After the fifth time, I got it. Oh. Verse number 7, all of a sudden he comes along and he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And every time I read that part, I was like, man, Jesus, you just threw me a curveball. You changed what you were saying. You were saying, abide in me and I in you, abide in me and I in you. And then all of a sudden you come along here in verse number 7 and you say, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." All right, so I was always like, I don't know. I got to go back to verse 4. I don't know what I got to do. I just don't get it. Anybody ever felt like that? All right. Two honest people, three honest people in the house of God today, all right? As a pastor, we still read things in the Bible, Pastor Luke can attest, and you're just like, I'm moving right along, I'll get that some other time, all right? So there's all right, but I finally got it, amen, all right? And the point, this is what Jesus is actually saying, abide in me, and I in you. And then in verse number 7, he comes along and he further explains to you and I what he's talking about. All right, last week we talked about, you know, if you're going to abide in him, you're going to have to keep him as your first love. You know, how you, when you first got saved. And we read that verse in Revelation, talks about, don't, you've left your first love. In other words, you didn't stay, you left. You didn't stay, you left. You went out the front door, you left. All right? But then Jesus is actually specifying here himself. In verse number 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. That's how you abide. If you abide in him and his words abide in you. Let me say it to you like this, young adults. If you abide in him and his words remain in you. If you abide in him and his words stay with you. If you abide in him and his words make their home in your heart. I love what King David said. He said it like this. I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against God. Amen. All right, you've got to abide in him and allow his words to continue in your life. I don't know about you, but that's good preaching to me. Because see, what you may or may not understand today is the whole reason why you got saved. The whole reason why that Jesus was, it was possible for Jesus to be revealed to your heart. The whole reason why it was possible for Jesus to be revealed to your life was because of the word of God. It was because either you read something in the Bible or somebody came along and preached the message. Maybe it was an altar call here at church and they said, hey, I just want you to know that he loved you so much that he went to that cross. A beaten, bloody mess for you. So that you could your sins could be forgiven so you could be brought back to God. It was the word of God. And so he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's good preaching to me again because, see, you may or may not understand tonight that it's because of the word of God that Jesus was offered to your life. Hey, today, if you're in the house and you're here in church and you're a child of God and you got saved, it's because of the word of God. Thank God for the B-I-B-L-E. Can I get it? Amen. If you're in the house tonight and once you may have been sick, but today you're healed, it's because the word of God says that by his stripes you are healed. And either you read that for yourself or somebody laid hands on you and they prayed the word of God or they preached the word of God and as a result, you are healed. Maybe today you're in the house and you had a time in your finances where things weren't looking good. But because of the word of God somehow got to you, whether you read it or somebody preached it. Hey, the Bible came on and said, hey, trust in God because he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. It's because of the word of God. The Bible says it like this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Pastor Joe, what do you mean by that? Your faith in Jesus Christ came because of hearing. And hearing came because the word of God. Or reading, same thing. Faith, your faith in Jesus Christ, your walk, your relationship with him, the things of God that are active in your life today are because this Bible said it first. Amen. All right, so I want to ask everybody a question today, which I believe that Jesus would ask us if he was here. And it would be this: do you realize today, do you understand today that, hey, if everything was started because of the word of God, if you have today what you have in your life because of the word of God, do you understand and do you realize today that it's going to have to be God's word continuing in your life for you to have the things of God? For you to be everything that God's called you to be, for you to do everything that God's called you to do, you're going to have to remain in God's word. Hey, listen, just let me see if I could break it down for you like this. No, nothing else brought you to Jesus Christ other than the word of God. So what makes us think now, all of a sudden, now that we got things going on and we looking good, we got our hair just right, I cut mine off on accident. All right, that all of a sudden now we can let the Bible sit over there on the shelf and collect dust. The Bible says this, man, God's word is full of life and power. It is the thing that will push you forward and break you out of every situation in life. And as long as it stays there on the shelf, you have no power to push forward and to break out. All right? So you and I have got to come to a place where we abide in him and God's words abide in us. God's words continue in us. Ask yourself today, how familiar am I with God's word? It's amazing to me how many people we could quote, how many movie lines we could quote, how many songs we could sing, and all of a sudden we go, what kind of verses do you have memorized? John 3:16, for God so loved me that he gave Jesus and Jesus saved me. But we walk around and we think that we have arrived, but there's so much more in God's word. Of course, salvation being the primary, the best thing that could happen to you and I, righteousness, right standing with God because of Jesus Christ, all right? But there's so much more. Life doesn't stop there. The things of God do not stop there. So why should we stop there? Am I making sense to anybody today? All right. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now look at Colossians. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3:16. All right. So you got John 3:16 memorized. Now let's try to do Colossians 3:16. And watch how the Bible says this. It's really cool. If you find the Bible says one thing about a subject, and all of a sudden you go to a few books later or earlier, and you see it says the same thing but in a different way about the same subject, and it just brings so much light and understanding to your life. Watch what Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16 says. Remember, we're talking about what it means to abide. Hey, abiding in him and God's word, abiding in you and I. Watch what it says here. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let's try that again. Let the word of Christ dwell in you poorly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you scarcely. Let the word of Christ dwell in you fairly. Just kind of average, just kind of mediocre, just kind of moderate. A little in, a little out, a little dabble, do ya? A little dabble, do ya? No, it doesn't say that. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Can you do that with the Bible sitting on the shelf? No. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So much so that you're able, watch this, to teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know, I'm still waiting for the day when you show up to shift and you're like, man, I got some issues in my life, all right? Not to one of us pastors, but to one another. Man, I got some stuff going on in my life. And the next thing you know, you break out in a song. God, our freedom, he has overcome. You're an overcomer, my brother, because the Bible says that you're an overcomer. And nothing is able to separate you from the love of Christ. And so I want you to know that if God is for you, who can be against you? So let me say it to you like this again. God, our freedom, he has overcome. That's what it's saying here. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. In all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What are we talking about here? We're talking about dwelling in Jesus and his word, abiding in Jesus and his word abiding in us. His word remaining in us. Talking about letting it dwell in us richly. Amen. All right, so two things to know about John chapter 15, verse number 7. Number one, was what it means to abide, all right? Abide in him and let his words abide in you. And we found out that the Bible really is talking about letting it richly abide in you. And then number two today, God's promises abide in you. Two things to know about John chapter 15, verse number 7. Number two is God's promises abide in you. Now this point number two here is actually a conditional point, all right? If you look back at verse 7 with me, Jesus makes this verse a conditional verse. Everybody know what I mean by conditional? He puts an if in front of it. All right, so that means you could fall to one side or the other. All right, if you abide in me, he says, if. Remember, the point is God promises abide in you. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, how many of you realize today that God's word is full of his promises? God's word is full of his promises. In fact, if you do what the Bible says here and you let God's word abide in you, you hide it in your heart like King David, you do what Colossians says and you let it dwell in you richly, guess what's dwelling in you richly? What? His promises. Thank you, my brother. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. He follow me. All right? So, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. God's promises, if God's word dwells in you, if it abides in you richly, guess what? God's promises abide in you as well. God's word is full of his promises. Now, I don't know about you, but thank God that he's equipped us with such. Thank God that if you and I come to the place where we allow his word to abide in us, you and I will be equipped with God's promises. You and I, anytime you face life situations, whether it's on the job, with your boss, with fellow employees, with your family, with your friends, with you name it, college, getting married, kids, whatever it is, I'm here to tell you today, if you allow God's word to abide in you, God's promises will abide in you also. All right, Pastor Joe, what's so good about that? As I was studying for this message, I was looking up what Matthew Henry had to say. Matthew Henry, I think, was from the 1700s, long time ago. And he says, man, if God's word abides in you, that means his promises abides in you. And if they do, they're lying in your life just ready to be prayed. And when they're prayed, they can't help but speed. Let me say that again. If God's word really abides in somebody, that means God's promises really abide in them too. And if God's promises abide in them, they're just lying, waiting to be prayed, waiting to be requested, waiting to be spoken. And once they're prayed and once they're spoken and once it comes out of the person's mouth, they can't help but speed. Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? In other words, the moment that you pray the promise of God, man, God starts working on your situation and that answer comes, bam, like that. God, the moment that you pray, there's plenty of verses all throughout the New Testament scripture that talk about, man, God's promises are sure. If you got God's word dwelling in your heart, then you've got God's promises dwelling there too. And if God's promises are dwelling there, then they're lying in wait to be prayed. They're lying in wait to be requested of God. And if you are really praying God's promises today, I'm here to tell you today that they can't help but speed. They can't help but come to pass. They can't help but be sent your way the moment that you ask. Thank God. And I like what Jesus says. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word, my promises will never pass away. And so when you're facing stuff, you're sick in your body, the doctors have given up. By his stripes, I'm healed. That's a promise. It's lying in wait. And the moment that you pray it, man, they can't help but speed to your on your behalf. All right? You got issues with your finances like we talked about earlier. God's word says, man, he's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, so much so that you will not be able to contain it. If God's word is dwelling in you, then that promise is dwelling in you too. And if that promise is dwelling in you too, then it's just lying in wait for you to request it of God. And it can't help but speed to every area of your life. I know I said that like 8 different times in the same way in different ways, but man, that's good. That if you come to the place where you abide in him and his words abide in you, then God's promises abide in you. And that's why he says here, God's promises abide in you, and they're lying in wait for you to request them because they can't help but speak. That's why he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. It shall be done for you. I love what Psalms chapter 23 says. How many of you guys are familiar with Psalms 23? Anybody? Raise your hand. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. What does it say? I shall not want. Let's try that again. What does it say? Okay, forget the first part, the Lord is my shepherd part. Just the Psalm. I didn't explain. That's my fault, all right? So just say the I shall not want part, all right? Ready? 1, 2, 3. All right, now say it like you're a preacher, all right? I shall not want. All right, one more time. Let's try everybody together because some of you are like, I still didn't get it. All right? So on the count of three, I shall not want. All right? 1, 2, 3. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Has anybody come to a place in life where you don't have a need for anything? You nowhere in life are you like, man, I wish I had some more money. I wish I had some healing. I wish I had some peace. I wish I had some joy. That's what it says right there. That's what it's talking about. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, other translations say, I shall not lack any good thing. How does that come to pass in your life? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. It didn't say maybe it will be done. Sometimes it'll get done. Sometimes it won't. If God feels like it that day, if your past ain't too ugly, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. Thank God, and it shall be done for you. Today, young people, if I could admonish you and I can encourage you today, as you if you get anything else today, get this, man. It's all about God's word. If you can come to the place where it really abides in you, it makes its home in you. In fact, another translation, and I didn't expect to say anything about it, or not another translation, but another meaning of the word abide means that it influences and affects your life so that you and the word of God are one. You and the word of God are one. You're not another. You're not different. But it's in your life, and it affects your life to the place where you and the Word of God are one. And when you come to a place like that, I'm telling you that your life is going to be blessed. I'm telling you, you're going to ask of God. You're not going to ask stupid things. Amen. All right? I'm sure everybody here has heard Pastor Jim talk about the lady who was like, man, I asked Jesus for that man over there. And he's like, that man is married. I don't care. All right, that prayer is not going to get answered. All right, that's a case of an extreme situation. But listen, guys, if you abide in him and his words, how important the word of God is to our everyday life. So today we talked about two things we need to know about John chapter 15, verse number 7. Number one was, what it means to abide, all right? It means that God's word is dwelling in you. And then number two, God's promises abide in you. If you got something good from God's word today, go ahead and give him a great big praise.